forgot about the lights, yeah. Good morning.
Stuck in the Middle with You. Hopefully you'll see why I picked that song later.
Maybe, who knows.
Joker's to my left, right? No. Okay. Steeler's Wheel, by the way, if you didn't know who that was, in the 70s, early 70s. Those of you that are 30 or 30-something. Good morning. Welcome to Bay Cities Church. Our next Compton initiative is next Saturday, and Mike and a few guys went, yep. They went and they prepared the two houses we're going to paint next weekend. A little boy came out that doesn't have a daddy, and Mike is a sucker. He said, do you have a baseball glove, mitt, and a ball? He goes, no. He goes, you're going to have one next week. And I said to him, I said, now you're not going to forget that, are you? He goes, no. So we're excited. We're going to meet at the courthouse with a couple thousand people at 7 o'clock in the morning. And so even if you don't sign up, you can come and join us and just look for a group of 50 of us. And we're going to go work till noon. So it's not hard. It's not painful. So I don't know what I'd do if every one of you came. It would be just stunning and wonderful. Consider it. There's info in the back. There's a table in the back. I feel like you're really excited about the Compton Initiative. Yeah. Also today, we have a meeting at about 12:15-ish for about 30 minutes on the Guatemala trip in January, and Sandy and I will be there to answer your questions and to talk about what we're going to do and how much it costs and all that kind of stuff and how to raise some funds. We may build a church if there's enough of us. If it's me and Sandy and two other gals that are over 70, we may not build a church. Not knocking over 70, because I'm getting closer. But you know, we'll see how that lays out, and we're kind of excited. There's a number of people that have interest, so feel free to join us. Today's theme, do the foot thing. Do the foot thing. And if you haven't figured it out already, because I know you probably have, hopefully you'll never forget that. And for the rest of your life, you'll do the foot thing. At least I'm going to do my best to drill it into you. A man limps into a hospital to have his foot x-rayed. He has a problem with his foot. And is asked to wait for the results. And sometime later, an orderly appears and hands the man a large pill. And as he's handed the pill, a mother with a small child is in need of immediate attention. She enters, and the orderly disappears with the new patient. There was blood, and it was serious, and he's off. The man with the foot problem hobbles over to get a glass of water, swallows the pill, and sits down to wait. Sometime later, the orderly reappears, bringing in a bucket of water to the man with a limp. Okay, he said, let's drop the pill in this bucket and soak your foot for a while. I guess some of you didn't get it. It was a big pill. You know, sometimes the cure that we need, we don't recognize. We're on autopilot at times, and we just carry on. There's a big fat pill in this message that if every one of you and me will embrace it, it not only impacts our lives, but all around us are impacted. Guaranteed. Your life will touch the lives of other people. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you. That we can be in this place. Thank you for songs that touch our hearts, that bring us to a place where we just want to follow you. We want to be like that, Lord, in our hearts and minds. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We ask you to be the coach, the leader, the father, the friend, that you can be to our life. And may we just listen and follow and learn and slowly but surely take on your character. Be led by you. Be touched by you. So Jesus, impact us today. You've promised that where two or three have gathered, there I am in your midst. You are here. And we thank you for that. We're excited about that. So Jesus, more than anything today, each one of us in our own way wants to say, we love you, and we're willing to listen to you. So touch us today through your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. It was another one of those days I could have just gone on for 15 minutes to see if anybody left. We're in a series that's sort of born out of Matthew, not sort of, completely, out of Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus tells his men to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to talk about, and I want you to teach them all that I've commanded you. He doesn't say, I want to teach you all the Old Testament. I want to teach you about math. I want to teach you about English. I want you to understand grammar. What Jesus says, that I want you, he says, I want you to teach them all that I have commanded. Because of the power in his words, the power of his commands. And so in this series, we've tried to take one a week to the best of our ability and understanding and unpack them. And today is about going the extra mile. For real. Being willing to deeply care for each other. And he takes us to a place where most people don't want to go. And what he's going to do is look beneath the surface of just love that we talk about a lot, we sing about a lot, and we want in our life, and we want to give away if we're smart people. But he goes beneath the surface. He's asking for an extraordinary life. Not a normal, good, faithful, loving life, but more than that. He's trying to get under your skin. He's trying to make you uncomfortable today, and you will be if you listen to his words and you look at what he did. It's not cool, but it's absolutely beautiful. It's uncomfortable and gets under your skin until we learn to do as he did. And when we learn that, there's a new freedom in life. There's a new passion in life. There's a new target to aim at. With all that we are and all that we do, as we go through the course of our life, with whatever gifts, whatever work, whatever background, baggage, whatever you got, if you will just sign up and listen to what he says today, very clearly to his men and to us through him. Today's message in the beginning really doesn't make sense as a human being. It's not cool. But then Jesus closes with the kicker that you too need to do this. You need to do it. And you can do it because I did it, because I will help you do it. It's not on our own. You're not going to figure this out on your own and then muscle through it, find your own fuel tanks to keep you strong. And the end result is you end up blessed. And who doesn't want that in their life? And the answer is nobody. So you ready? Fired up? Boy, you are really fired up today. We need some coffee in this room. Number one. Well, before that, let's look at the context, just to get us a little picture of where we're heading. It's the Last Supper, John 13, verse 1. I thought Joe was going to throw that up there. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. No quit in Jesus. Never has been, never will be. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, the Last Supper as we call it, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Now stop right there just for a second. This is not popular, it's probably not smart that I'm telling you this, because some of you will disagree with me. And I want you to understand, it's okay to disagree, just continue to love. But you know what happened 2 weeks ago today? Matter of fact, I visited a little girl that was shot in the face yesterday and spent an hour with her and her family. I've been telling the people close to me, they say, how do you explain this? Well, what kind of evil? How can a man go so sideways? Folks, this is demonic junk. Now, I don't talk about demons and Satan and the evil one much, and I don't believe that it's the devil made him do it. I'm not buying that, but I'm telling you, when you see this kind of stupidity and idiotic behavior, somehow, there is more than just human evil here. Well, the world doesn't want to hear this. We're not going to hear it on Channel 4 News. I'm not trying to explain it away. But notice Judas, and most of you know him. Nobody, did anybody name their son Judas? You got it, huh? I don't know what I'd do if somebody said, yeah, my name's Judas. What's wrong with that? The devil prompted him to do that. what he did. We're not going to talk that much about him. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. This phrase is enormous. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. Now, verse 3 tells us so much. It tells us that Jesus is in charge of all things, all of them, everything. All authority was to be given to him. He came from God the Father. He was going to go back to God the Father as he ascended into heaven later. And this establishes his authority and where it comes from. If or when we acknowledge this, it changes so much. It says a lot. This is where Jesus can end up in charge of your life if you buy into verse 3. This is why Jesus is so important to so many of us when we talk about the Jesus message and who he is. It's because the Father has put all things under his power. This is why it's so important. And once you accept that, you begin to be fascinated by his life. You begin to want to know this Jesus that offers you forgiveness, not just in a teaching doctrinal way, but you want to get him in here. You want to know him. You want to befriend him. He's not just a body of truth. He's real, and he's alive, and he's there for you. Well, number one, let's get into this stuff. Otherwise, we'll be here till 2 o'clock. Number one, Jesus grabs the moment dramatically. As we narrate this passage and try to pull some truth out of it, this is what happens at this point. He'd done so much, healing people. This was the end of the road for him, or getting real close, a week out. He displayed his power over and over, many stories that we've gone through. He taught truth like no one ever has in the history of the world. He exemplified love and forgiveness and humility over and over and over again. Now he surprises his guys. In verse 4, as we pick it up, so while everyone was sitting and reclining at this final supper in an upper room privately, he got up from the meal. The meal had already started. It's key to understand that. So Jesus unexpectedly stood up. They didn't expect this, but they didn't know what to expect from Jesus. They'd learned that he has some surprises. So he got up and he took off his outer clothing, not saying a thing. Just began to peel away, down to kind of, I guess we might say t-shirt and underwear, sort of. Back then they would wear layers of clothing for the cold and the night in order for warmth. And it appears that Jesus stripped down to a t-shirt of sorts, one piece that would have come from here all the way up that was their inner garment. You know, they're all sitting at table, appropriately dressed, and Jesus gets up and starts peeling some stuff off. Put yourself in the room, please. Just take your foot and step right in there. When you kind of look around, you might not say anything, but you're thinking. You're thinking, what the heck is going on here? And I think he did this slowly. I wasn't there. I haven't talked to him about it. But he wrapped a towel around his waist. Took his stuff off, probably hung it up nicely. Didn't just throw it on the ground like teenagers do, or grown men. As the disciples look on with this awkward silence. Verse 5. After that, as the seconds tick by, tick, 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 as the tension and the drama grows in the room, he poured water into a basin. So he walked over to where the basin was that would have been normal in this room, took it and poured water from a pitcher of some sort, and it went into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. So then he takes the basin and he goes over to the first guy or wherever he was, and he kneels down and he begins to wash one of the disciples' feet. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to put this. Silence in the room at this point. And the Bible says drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This is very intimate, if you think about it. So I'm washing a guy's grubby, dirty, dusty, nasty toe. Just, they didn't have toenail clippers back then. I'm just not thinking that hard about this, but they didn't. And then drying them. And you know, and I bet he dried them completely, going between the toes and whatever. You know, I'm not cool. This isn't cool. Somebody else, another human being. Well, let me ask you this, married people. How many times have you washed your mate's feet? You wash your own stinking feet. Now, maybe your wife, if it's going to lead to something. Is that too much at church? Was that too much? I'm stopping there, so we're not going any further. Ronald, that was for you. A little humor. A little humor. Gym humor. But the truth is, what's going on here is very, very personal. And very, very intimate. This is more than a hug. How you doing, man? Good, man. This is more than a fist bump. And I want you to feel that today. If you're going to get this story, you got to feel that. In here. Number two, Jesus heads towards Peter next. As Jesus is moving through the guys, and I really believe it's silent in the room. Maybe some whispering. We don't know. He now gets to Peter. And we all know that Peter's special that have been around the Bible. He's vocal. He's loud. He's emotional. He's opinionated. He's not a shrinking violent. He's anything but that. Look at verse 6. So Jesus comes, he came to Simon Peter, Mr. Type A personality, who said to him, in question form, Lord, with an attitude, by the way, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And he's asking this in protest, of course. And verse 7 tells us, Jesus replied, and eyeball to eyeball, we're close. When we're washing somebody's feet, it's close and personal. As he's preparing to move to Peter's feet, Jesus replies to him, you do not realize now what I am doing. So Peter, look, Jesus is saying, you don't get the full picture of what's going on here. You don't get it. You don't understand. But later you'll understand. Peter, you don't have to get it. You don't need to understand what I'm doing. You'll understand later. And so Peter is protesting, making a scene, if you will, as you'll see in a moment, starting to challenge Jesus. Remember, the guys are watching, the guys are listening in the room. Biggest dinner ever, except for the marriage supper of the Lamb that's coming. And Jesus is saying, Peter, will you trust me? By what he responded with. Just follow me. Trust me. You don't get what I'm doing, but you're going to get it later, Peter. Trust me. Stick with me, Peter. Go with me, Peter. And I think when I hear these kind of things and dilemmas, I go, okay, Peter's Peter. Who's Jim? This Jim. What would I do? What do I do when Jesus says, through the scripture or through learning something, stick with me, Jim. Trust me, Jim. This may not make total sense to you, but will you just follow me, Jim? And let me build your life and not you be in full control of everything. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your words. I'm going to keep your commands. Even though I don't fully understand, I don't really want to all the time, but I'm gonna. And these dilemmas, when they come up, when I study these to bring it to you, I'm going, oh, who am I? Don't ever be afraid of the question, who am I? Number three, Peter says, no! I just woke four people up. Peter says no, and Peter loses here. And boy, I want you to see that today. Peter was stubborn. Peter knew best. Peter just couldn't see it. He couldn't wrap his head around this. This was too much, as we'll see. Verse 8. Are you guys getting this? Is this okay? You all right? Because you're being real quiet. Thank you for the little whistle back there. Verse 8. No, no, said Peter. We need to understand who he's saying no to. This is Jesus. Now, I know he didn't know and understand all about Jesus that we do today, those of us that have listened to the Bible and seen him show up in our life and been around him and embraced him. Peter wasn't in that place. He didn't have a New Testament to study. I get it. But he saw miracle after miracle. He saw stuff that nobody's ever seen before or since, by the way. And when I see this, I ask myself, okay, Jim, when do you say no to Jesus? In terms of you understand something, you go, you know, that's just too hard. I'm going to choose selfishness over servanthood here because I deserve. You ever say I deserve? I don't want to make you be in pain too much today, a little bit, but not too much. You'll never wash my feet. Looking eyeball to eyeball to Jesus, the miracle worker. The Peter who said, you are the Christ. Who else do we go to for the words of eternal life? You're it. Nobody else has them. No, you're never washing my feet. It's Peter. Well, what's your personality? Are you a type A? You're Peter at times. Peter's telling Jesus what he can and cannot do. I find that humorous. It's not the right position for us to be in. Peter shows his ignorance concerning what Jesus came to do for him. And it's loud and clear. Peter's declaration in part is beautiful. And I really mean that. He's saying, you're above this. This isn't right. He's trying to honor Jesus by saying, you'll never wash my feet, and no, you're the Lord. You're our leader. You shouldn't be washing my feet. He's already washed other disciples' feet. Peter wasn't first. Verse 8 goes on. Look at it. Jesus answered, looks into Peter's eyes, and responds to his declaration of, no, you'll never wash my feet. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. You're disconnected from me. You see, Jesus and Peter are talking about two different things here. Jesus is talking about relationship, and Peter's talking about doing something very different. He's back to that way of rules and legalism and control. And all that he had been raised on with Judaism. Verse 9 goes on. Then, Lord, this is Peter, Mr. Flip-Flop. Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. All of me. You're going to give me a sponge bath, dude. Right here, right now. Peter, as usual, speaks what's on his mind. And I appreciate that when people do it. It needs to oftentimes be reformatted and rethought, but we have eager Peter here, and that's exactly what he is. Obviously, he doesn't get it. He's thinking, okay, then bring it on. If this is about washing, I want everything washed. And again, Peter's response is both beautiful and tragic, and I mean both of those words. He's trying to not dishonor Jesus. That's beautiful. He's giving his honest opinion, and I don't know if that's beautiful, but it's honest, it's transparent, it's real. But he's missing this main point. And I wonder how many people within the context of the believing world miss the point, not just about this story, but about Jesus. I've known men and women that study the Bible so much, and they know so much, and they don't ever talk about Jesus. They don't ever lift him up in their life. And I find that fascinating. Actually, I was that guy up until 7 years ago. I love the Bible. I love people. I love ministry. I love youth. I wish I could be a youth pastor. It's much easier than this stuff. He's missing the whole point. This is a symbol of what Jesus can do for us. The problem is Peter won't submit to Jesus. He wants to be in charge. And it's a problem many of us in this room have. We want to be in charge. This is all about surrender and submission. Submission's not just submitting when you agree. Real submission is submitting when you don't agree and you submit anyway. And submit's a big word. And Peter was struggling. Number four, Jesus explains what he's up to. Jesus now tells Peter and the guys and us through them what this washing is all about. The importance of it, the result of it. Verse 10, Jesus answered. He answered. Those who have had a bath, in physical terms, when you've had a bath, you don't need another one. Like most of us in the room showered this morning, right? Raise your hand if you showered. No, I'm just kidding there. I was just kidding. But if your feet are dirty, you may be clean here, but your feet are dirty because the way they live with sandals and dirty roads, and you can only imagine back then. The spiritual principle is here that Jesus is talking about is those who've had their sins dealt with and washed away by me need only to wash their feet. And the idea here in large part is to clean things up. The spiritual principle is to care for the way we walk and live. Be concerned about what Jesus is concerned about. Clean up your feet as you live and walk through life. He goes on to say, they need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. They're clean. He goes, and you, Peter, looking at him, are clean. Now, what's he saying? What does it mean to be clean? And this is so important. It means our sins have been washed away. It means we've been justified, made right by Jesus before God himself, providing complete forgiveness, past, present, and future. That's what it means to be clean. We're now viewed pure before God because of what Jesus did, not because of our performance or activity. We become acceptable before God. Thus, we have eternal life. It's that simple. Jesus does that for me and you. All because Jesus bathes us and cleans us up. Not about washing feet, but he's already made them clean, he says. Verse 10 continues. Though, Peter, and he's saying this to Peter, but the room, not every one of you. He's not talking about everybody in the room. Jesus is referring to one particular disciple. You probably know his name. Leads us to number five. Judas is the one not connected. Now, what does that mean? He's not a believer. He doesn't have his faith in who Jesus is, who the Messiah is, that was to die a week from now. He's not connected to Jesus by faith. He's on his own. He's doing his own thing. Judas was not in a safe place faith-wise. And we know that by knowing the very story. Look what he says in verse 11. For he knew, remember, Jesus is fully aware of everything. He's God in the flesh. He knew who was going to betray him. He clarified this to Peter and the guys. When he said, you're all clean except for one. Not everybody. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And they had to ask themselves, imagine being in the room. There's already this awkward silence. Now Peter is kind of yelling at him. They're having this give and take. Back and forth, talking about what he was doing, washing their feet. Everybody had to kind of ask the question, am I the one? Am I the guy that's going to betray him? And some of them, I'm sure, maybe all of them, became judgmental and says, I know who it is. It's John. He's always kissing up to Jesus. He puts his head on his chest. He brags when he runs so fast because it's John. That, by the way, I'm not saying that was said. I just made that up. All right. But Jesus wants them and us to learn a number of things. This is a big event. Huge, enormous for them. Most importantly, that he must wash them or bathe them for them to have a part with him. So if you want to have a part with Jesus, he needs to clean you and wash you. It's way beyond feet here and the foot thing. Jesus can do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves, that no one else can do for us. He can give you a better life, and over the course of time, Jesus can make you a better person. And once you buy into that, you go, I want to be close to him. I'm going to figure out how to do that. So, question, has Jesus cleaned you? Have you welcomed him into your life? Have you started following him, and have you found him in that process by trying to do what he says? Because you value, you're fascinated by his life, and you begin to value what he said, and you're willing to learn, even if you disagree in the beginning. Has Jesus cleaned you? Have you been changed by him? These are such important questions for every one of us in this room. You can't give yourself the shower he's talking about. Only he can bring it to us. Number six, Jesus teaches them and us through a question. Through a question. All these words were said as Jesus was washing their feet. And if you think about the timing of things here, you know, I'm not much of a numbers guy, but when I prepare my notes, I can deal with numbers. Let's say it takes 3 minutes per guy to dry off every little toe and big toe. 3 times 12 is 36 minutes, all 12 guys. That's a long time to be sitting there, especially if you really want dinner. 36 minutes. Try this, by the way. You might want to. I'll encourage you. Next dinner you have at your house with 8 to 12 people, just say, hey, you know where I'm going. Just for fun tonight, I want to illustrate Jesus in your life. Hey, shoes off. And you get down and you kneel at the first person. What's going to happen as you work around that room? People are going to think you are the weirdest person on the planet. See how I told you this is going to make you uncomfortable? It's weird. Now, they had servants that did that back then, and this was a private meeting. Okay, remember all that. But this was a long time to be washing feet. Pick it up in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, I'm saying at least 36 minutes, and a battle with Peter in the middle, and finally he gave in, obviously. He completed all 12 disciples. By the way, please never forget that Jesus washed Judas's feet. Please, don't ever forget that. There's a lot of messages in this Last Supper, and that's one of them. And when Jesus says, love your enemies, what Jesus did, he washed the feet of his enemy that was going to basically have him killed. You want to live an extraordinary life? Learn how to wash the feet of your enemy. That's not a small thing. So he put on his clothes, pick it up verse 12 there, and returned to his place, that 13th place at the dinner table. The emotion and drama of all this is off the charts. I mean, if you put yourself in the room, everybody's just sitting there a bit dumbfounded, thinking probably, who's the traitor in this room? Who is it? Is it me? Is it him? Whatever their mind would have gone to. What was Jesus doing washing our feet? What's the deal? Now Jesus looks at them and says, do you, y'all, if you're from the South, understand what I have done for you? Sort of an open-ended question, a teaching question, I believe. Huge question here. Enormous. You guys got to understand what I've just done for you as your leader. And the truth is, you want to know the truth? They all should have washed each other's feet. Jesus waited until dinner started. They could have done it for one another. This dinner is about love. from the beginning to the end. But none of them would ever think about washing somebody's feet, just like you in the dinner party I talked about a few minutes ago. Are you kidding me, Jim? Are you serious? It's weird. Servants do that. They should have washed each other's feet and not waited for Jesus to do it. That's the message of today. Verse 13, you, 12, call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so. By the way, I am. For that is what I am. This is the way we should look at Jesus all day long. As the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, because he is. And then as our teacher. Not man. Now, as long as somebody is trying to teach you how to follow Jesus, listen to them. If they're trying to teach you how smart they are and how much of the Bible they know and you ought to be just like them, go to another church. I can't stand that stuff. And Jesus conveys what they need to understand, number 7 and last. Jesus tells them and us to CDFO. CDFO. David's not here, so nobody's going to figure this out. He's in Chicago. Care deeply for others. Care deeply for others. This is the message of the foot washing, folks. Jesus coaches them on what matters, and us. Listen up. Verse 14. Now that I, he just said, you need to understand what I've just done. Do you understand what I've just done? He says, now I, your Lord and teacher, repeats that. Is Jesus your Lord and teacher? Is he? Make him your Lord and your teacher. Right now, just say, I'm in for life. It's not about a pastor. It's not about a discipler. It's about Jesus. And if somebody isn't teaching you about Jesus, what are they teaching you about? He says, I washed your feet. He says, you also should wash one another's feet. And we look at this straight up, fact-based, and we say, are you kidding me? Really? I have to have that dinner that Jim talked about? I'm not washing anybody's feet. It's weird. You think I'm weird now as a Jesus follower? I'm going to do this at work on Tuesdays? Verse 15. He says, I, Lord and teacher, Jesus, have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Do you need me to help you understand that? Look, guys, I was not above serving you in this way. You did not do it for one another, so I had to do it. You shouldn't be above serving anybody, ever. Jesus took the place of a servant with them. And the message is, you can do the same. Let's go on, verse 16, very truly. And whenever he says this, he's saying, look, you got to get this. Truly, truly, I tell you. Focus in on this. No servant is greater than his master. We're people. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Remember, these guys just days before were battling over who was the greatest, who was the most significant, who mattered the most. They were vying for the top spot. This is just the story of mankind. Very few people said, you need a servant? Sign me up. I talk to you all the time about learning those precious words. How can I help? How can I help? How can I help? Sometimes we're afraid because we're so busy, we're so jam-packed in our life and in our parenting and what we're doing. We don't have time to say, how can I help, let alone answer the call when somebody says, can you help me? Most of us have learned how to find, pay for a way and get Uber to go to LAX because we don't want to ask a friend or a family member. We don't want to put them out. And it's a shame. We've learned our lesson. People don't want to help you unless they kind of have to. Verse 17. Now that you know these things, I've taught them. I've showed you. I've taught them. I've showed you. I've taught them. I did it with my own actions. And I'm the Lord and teacher here. He says, you will be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you do them. Follow, folks. It's good for you. follow me, listen to me, trust me, even if you don't fully understand, and do what I do. If you live and build this kind of attitude into your life, and you connect it to your actions day in and day out, and your thought life day in and day out, you become a servant to anybody and everybody to the best of your ability. You don't have to overserve, but you're supposed to, and I'm supposed to serve every day, all day long. We need to do the foot thing. And the foot thing is not about a basin and a pitcher and a towel around my waist. It's bigger than that. It's me being willing to serve anybody and everybody all day long to the best of my ability. John Sparunas texted me Friday. His daughter is the one, Ariel, that got shot in the face and came home last Thursday. Jaws wired shut. And he said, as we're texting back and forth and trying to minister to him, he said, Jim, is there any way that you can come by and meet and see Ariel? He goes, I know you're crazy busy, but could you come by? No. What do you think I said? Yeah. Who got ministered to more, their family or me? I win. I've got a new friend. I get to, you know, because I'm 63 and she's 22, we're going to have a texting relationship. She's a sweetheart, straight A student, her first year of law school. And because it's an everyday thing, I was not chosen to go to law school, by the way. They didn't pick me. But I guess it's an everyday thing. So she is going to, they have let her cancel this year and she starts up next year. And her scholarship is going to continue from a big company. It doesn't matter what. But look, if what are we talking about here? Do the foot thing. If someone needs some help, I'm your guy. Every one of us. Someone needs some encouragement, be that guy. If someone needs a door held open, be that guy, that gal. If somebody needs a ride to the doctor or to LAX, be that guy. And by the way, if you do something like that, don't remind them for the next 6 months that you did that. That's not the guy. That's something else. And I'm not going to give you that word. If someone needs a friend, be that friend. You don't have to be best friends. You have to alter your whole world, but be a friend. Be a friend. If someone needs a listening ear, and notice I said a listening ear, not an advice giver. We're all real good at that advice giving. The listening ear is harder. Just listen. Listen, listen, listen. When you listen, you can love. When you don't listen, it ain't no love. You just want to be heard. If someone needs your truck and you have a truck, if it's your baby and you don't want them to drive it, you go with the truck. You get the truck, you get me. You don't have to tell them you're just a greedy, you don't want any scratches and all that stuff. Go with the truck. If someone needs help hanging a TV, help them hang the TV, as long as they're in charge. If somebody needs some party prep help, why not you? You can bring the ice. Someone just wants to hang out with somebody. Wow, do I want to give them 2 hours of my life? Why wouldn't you if they want to be with you? I've got this little dream. My good friend, she's going to kill me for this. I'm going to pay a price for what I'm about to do. Karen Felix just retired this week after 40 years at Toyota. She's in that back room right now steaming. It's all right. It's all right. And Robin Zabalawi over here just retired in the last month after many years at where? TRW. And then, yeah. I want them to, because they like each other. They don't know this. I'm setting something up. I'm being poof. Remember I talked about me being poof last week? I set something up and then poof, I'm gone. I want them to go to the show at 1 o'clock a couple times in the next month. You pick the girl flick, the chick flick, whatever it is, and I want them to go at 1 o'clock together. They don't have to be best friends, but I'm going to bug them till they go to the show together because that's my right. They're retired. Go to the show, man. Go on Tuesdays. It's really cheap. I know that. But here's what I'm saying. Be that guy. Be that person that's doing the foot thing over and over and over again. That's your life. Who are you? I'm the foot guy. What do you mean you do the foot thing? I serve people in any way that I can all day long. It's my passion. It's who I am. It's who Jesus wants me to be. Can you imagine being married to a male, if you're a female, foot guy? Can you imagine if you're a male and you're married to a woman and she's a foot gal and you serve each other all day long? If somebody wants a cup of water, you're fighting over who's getting it. And I'm going to win if it's competition, baby. It's serving one another. It's doing, not waiting for another opportunity to serve. They're here every day, all day. That CDFO, caring deeply for others, all day. No matter who you're in contact, your neighbor is whoever's closest to you. So what does Jesus teach us? Real quick. Number one, you can say no to him, Jesus. You say no to him. That kind of stunned me in this message. Peter did, and it just wasn't wise. Once we embrace that Jesus is our Lord and teacher, we can begin viewing him differently as we ought to. You want what Jesus can do for you, even if you don't know him yet. You want what he can do for you. And you need what Jesus can do for you. Number two, Jesus did this to convince them to love. That's why he washed their feet. It's always the great goal of Jesus, always. If you get close to him, you'll become a better lover to everybody else around you. That just will happen, or you're not close to him. That we would serve and love one another. That's his dream for us. That is what he washed their feet for. Will you do the foot thing all day long? Will you? Number three, Jesus wants us to love through serving. Love needs to have a way to come out of us. It's not just love, love, love. That's all you need. It's more than that. You're stuck in the middle, baby. And that joker to your left, and who is it to the right? Clown. You need to love all the jokers and clowns in your life. That wasn't that good, was it? But it's kind of fun. His actions of washing their feet was all about serving them, living with humility, showing them how to live in love all day, every day, no matter what the situation was. Jesus wants us to do the foot thing. You be sure of that. Now, this morning, as I was getting ready, my wife was gone. She leaves at 7:15, and I don't. I'm not even showered yet. But I don't know where this came from. Joe may throw it up on the... It was in the bathroom when I was getting ready. I think I was shaving at this point. I don't have a picture of me shaving. Oh, this is it. Good. Thank you, Joe. I don't know if somebody gave this to Sandy for her birthday. I have no idea. Who?
Sandra.
Oh, Sandra gets credit. Oh, like she needs some more credit, Miss Homemade. I didn't know. Friends make life half as hard and twice as good. You know what Jesus is asking you to do is to be a friend of people. Don't live life all alone. Don't be a recluse. Don't be a loner. You need alone time. You need to ditch out at times. But this is true. This isn't a verse, but it's true. And when you're willing to do the foot thing, you have more of these, and you make a bigger difference. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're always there for us, that we can count on you in every way. And I just pray that as we try to understand and try to live the way you did and you want, that you'd make a difference in every one of our lives, that we'd be stand-up folks for you, not by yelling that everybody needs to know Jesus, but loving everybody around us and showing them they need to know Jesus. So make it true in our life. Thank you for the people in this room and the love that's already here that many of us have experienced year after year together. And may it just grow more and more as time goes on. We love you, Jesus. Boy, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me.